So you see what's happening is that with the way the Federal Reserve is printed money and all the cheap borrowing gets to happen to the wealthy people because they have good credit and they have assets, so they can borrow on that. So all of these cheap funding has driven up asset prices, but all of that has gone to the wealthy. So that's why the wealth gap builds, where the average person is getting left behind. So the reality is that no one is looking out for them. The wealthy people that control the government, that control Wall Street, they don't care about them. So the only way to battle the wealth gap is by educating the average investor and giving them the same opportunities and leaving it up to them to take that battle on themselves.
This is Building Passive Income and Wealth Through Real Estate, where we guide you through the relentless pursuit of financial independence. I'm your host, Justin Moy, managing partner at Perpetual Wealth Capital, a multifamily real estate investing firm that lets everyday people invest passively in income-producing apartment buildings.
Hey, investors, welcome back to another episode of Building Passive Income and Wealth Through Real Estate. Today, I am sitting down with Sash. Now, Sash is co-founder of digital real estate investment platform Elevate Money. That's elevate.money. Now, he was recently featured on CNBC Select discussing REITs and has over two decades of experience on Wall Street. Sash has a passion for increasing financial literacy and bringing the potential and stability of real estate to the modern investor. Sash, we are so excited to have you here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Justin, thank you. I really appreciate it. Love what you do, you know, informing the world about the opportunities that you do. And I'm really excited to be here and share my story and Elevate story with you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we get connected, right? Because we have such a passion for sharing this message that we just feel so many more people need to know and understand. And podcasting is a great medium to reach those people. So hopefully we have some listeners and get some great value. Now, tell us about Elevate Money. What is it and what problem does it solve?
Let's talk about the problem first. Historically, the wealthier individuals in this country, around the world actually, have really built wealth and expanded their wealth through real estate. Mm-hmm. And real estate was not accessible to the average investor. So you had different rules and different opportunities based on where you sat. As the saying goes, the rich get richer. Part of that is because they have the ability to do so. And yeah. So what Elevate Money does is kind of break that barrier and says, you might have $100, $1,000, $1 million, or $10 million. That's fine. However, it got chopped up. But you should still have the same resources, the same tools, and the same opportunities to grow your wealth and build your wealth the same exact way. Mm-hmm. So the 100 grand guy might not take it from 100 to 20 million, but he should be able to take it from 100 to whatever that percentage is, just like the guy who's got 10 million can grow it as well. It shouldn't be different opportunities for different people. And that's what Elevate Money stands for. We want to make real estate investing, which has been the wealth building tool for generations, to the wealthy, to the average investor, so that they can do that. And the reason that's more important than ever is because of the wealth gap. So you see what's happening is that with the way the Federal Reserve has printed money and all the cheap borrowing gets to happen to the wealthy people because they have good credit and they have assets, so they can borrow on that. So all of these cheap funding has driven up asset prices, but all of that has gone to the wealthy. So that's why the wealth gap builds, where the average person is getting left behind. So the reality is that no one is looking out for them. The wealthy people that control the government, that control Wall Street, they don't care about them. Mm-hmm. So the only way to battle the wealth gap is by educating the average investor and giving them the same opportunities and leaving it up to them to take that battle on themselves. So you close the wealth gap, make sure that you're going to be okay by making good financial decisions and having the opportunities that everybody else has. And that's, and that's what we stand for.
I couldn't agree more. You always hear those sayings, and it's much more prevalent now than ever. Like, it's not just a hashtag, like the rich get richer, the poor get poor. You know, the wealth gap is growing, the middle class is kind of eroding. And I can say from my background, you know, seeing both sides, it is so real. I mean, the opportunities, once you get to a certain level, both in people who are willing to help you and resources you have and availability of things, like you said, credit, loans, everything that you can just pull leverage out to really build that wealth. And it's a big hurdle that a lot of people, unfortunately, never really get through. And now with technology and now with more modern ways of investing, there's fewer and fewer reasons why that should happen. So give us the nitty gritty, because when a lot of people hear these things that maybe aren't so familiar with the alternative investment space like we are, and they hear something like, hey, get started with $100, $1,000, they immediately roll their eyes. So exactly what is it? Is it a stock? Is it an index fund? Tell us exactly what it is.
Absolutely. So it's a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust, which in essence is a portfolio of real estate that you can fractionalize. And so before you could fractionalize it up to accredited investors, you could take a portfolio and say, hey, minimum $10,000 investment. And now through the Jobs Act during the Obama days, they created a platform called Reg A. This is some technical stuff, but basically that's how you can file for this. And now you can take that same crowdfunding fractional investment of a portfolio of real estate assets and drop it down to $100 minimum investment. So you're not going to get a return by investing $100 on $1 million. You're going to get the return on $100. Mm-hmm. But if you put your money in the bank, let's say when you're earning 0.025% a year, so basically nothing, you put your money in the bank and the bank makes money on it and gives you nothing. Mm-hmm. And inflation now is skyrocketing. It's as mm-hmm. high as it was since 1980s. So it's at 6%, 7%, 8%. So you're losing money in the bank every year. Well, the wealthy take a lot of that money and put it in income producing hard assets that have tangible value, that are protected. And that's what real estate investing is. And so now you can take that higher dividend yield. Maybe it's not as high as 9% or 8%. It can vary. It can be 3%. It can be whatever it is. Currently, I think our dividend yield has been 6.5% annualized. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that's what it's going to be tomorrow, but that's what it is right now. And that allows this investor on that $100 to get a better return on their money and one, battle inflation, but two, they can take that monthly dividend that we pay, reinvest it back in, and then they compound that growth. And when you compound that mm-hmm. growth year after year, when you look, you know, we have a dividend calculator based on our product on our website. You'll see that if you hold it for 3 years, yeah, you'll get a nice return. If you hold it for 30 years, you'll be shocked at how much it will turn into if you just keep compounding that growth. That's the education part that we want to offer investors. So technically what we do is we manage these assets for them, right? So mm-hmm. if you're an individual investor, you don't have the knowledge or the time to go and find assets, decide which one to buy. You don't have the money either. So what we do for a fee, right, which is as a fund manager, mm-hmm. we go and find the real estate, we underwrite mm-hmm. it, we check the credit of the tenant, we look at the property, we look at the demographics. We have an analysis called Elevate Lens, which is on our website, where we actually educate our investors on these different criteria that we look at to judge a property, and then we rate it and we share that with them. So they also know it's not just blind, like put it in this fund and I don't know what they do with it. You get to see why we buy assets and which assets we bought that you now are part owner in and through the fractional investment. Mm-hmm. And so with that process, we're able to provide the service that's hassle-free. So in 5 minutes, you can get on your laptop, sign up, I want to invest $500. And maybe every month I want to put auto invest on for $100. Just making up numbers, it could be less, more. And now you can see that you don't have to do anything else. In 5 minutes, you're done. And now we go do all the work. We go and finance it. You don't take the credit. You don't need the credit to go finance it. We go finance. We collect the rent. We take care of all the bills. All of that income comes in every month, rent income. We take care of all the bills. We take our little fee, and then we put the rest back in to the investor. So hassle-free, you now collect rent on a portfolio mm-hmm. of assets, and all you did was click a few buttons and spend 5 minutes to make the decision on how much you wanted to put towards that investment.
The real estate investment trust, the REIT model, is so good for a lot of reasons. And I don't want to take any of the reasons that you already have kind of stored and ready to talk about, but truly passive is one of the big ones. A lot of people kind of think of rentals as passive income, but there's really not that many true passive forms of investment. Because even if you buy a home or even a small multifamily or you house hack, like you still have to do things. You still have to deal with emergencies or maintenance or finding tenants, whatever the case may be. So REITs and syndications, things like that are some of the really only truly passive ways of investing. And so walk us through, I guess, some of the benefits of it. Besides, it's passive and it's fractional. So of course, hey, if you have $100 or $500, you're fractionally invested in maybe dozens or several properties. I guess, how does that work? So if somebody puts their money into this account, let's say it's $500, how does that $500 turn into fractional ownerships of all of these different types of properties?
Yeah. So as money comes in, we go buy more properties, and then mm-hmm. you own a pro rata share of the portfolio. So when there's, let's say, 10 investors at $100 each and the portfolio value is 1,000, you own 10% of that 1,000. Well, now another 1,000 comes in and now you own 5% of that 2,000. You still get the same dollar value benefit of your investment. Mm-hmm. The beauty is that as more money comes in, we can buy more properties. And now as a single investor with $100, $1,000, $10,000, your diversified portfolio of how many ever assets we've accumulated in this REIT by raising more capital. So now COVID happens. If you own one property, even if you go to a crowdfunding site today, and many of them say, you can buy this multi-development complex in DC and you can buy this thing here. Well, how is a $100, $1,000 investor know how to underwrite that or what they should buy? So you're forcing them to be stuck with one or two. And now if something happens to that one, well, man, that's it. It's over, right? Yeah. They didn't have the knowledge to underwrite it and that they picked the wrong one. Well, that's a crapshoot. So when you invest in a REIT, you own a portion of everything the REIT owns. And so if you have 20 properties and COVID happens and two go under, maybe your yield goes down a little bit, but you're still doing okay. You're still definitely not down to zero or getting your yield crushed. And that's the benefit. A new investor, a young investor, a lower level investor, you don't want to take that kind of level of risk where you're trying to be the expert with $100. So that's the benefit, is the diversification that you can get by owning a fraction of the entire portfolio.
And I totally agree. It's really one of the only models. And I've done a few REITs and like apps now, right? I mean, it's so easy. It's just like Robinhood, like, oh, I just bought AT&T. It's like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It's so easy to get started. The barriers to entry are so low. And that's why you said, hey, like the modern investor, this is now how people own industrial properties, warehouses, apartment buildings. It's how everybody gets in. And back in the day, yes, it literally was like the man, that top one, like that guy owns all the apartments in the city, the one guy. And now it's diversified across everybody. So tell us a little bit about your experience on Wall Street that I guess influenced your decision to come here. So what did you do on Wall Street? Were you a fund manager? Were you a day trader, stock market trader? What was that experience? And what kind of led you down this path as being, hey, I think this is the future. This is where I want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a bond trader, very exciting out of college to be on a trading floor, very much like something you see in the movies.
Yeah.
People banging phones, yelling, screaming. There was a level of intensity and excitement. And I was totally drawn to it. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, met a lot of people. But you know what I also saw was some of the negative aspects of the way the financial system is set up. And so again, it came down to like the differences of opportunities and things that I was able to see and do before I worked on Wall Street or my family or my friends, and then to kind of see the other side. And that kind of struck a nerve in me because my view has always been that what you do with it as an individual, that's on you. You should have the same opportunities because you'll never know what you're capable of. And people will never know what you're capable of if the opportunities are held against you. And I think that's how the system got built. And so that just struck a nerve against me. I kind of saw things on both sides. And when I left, and I left just because I wanted to grow as a person, do different things, attend to personal growth and spirituality and all those things, which, you know, when you're in the grind of New York City and Wall Street, it's not exactly the most conducive environment for that.
Yep.
But when I came out of it and I met so many entrepreneurs and I started to kind of get that entrepreneurship bug, I figured that the one important thing is that I can take all of this knowledge that I learned, because I didn't come from that background. Immigrant parents, borrowed money all through college, worked full-time jobs, really had to go for it and make it on my own. And what I wanted to do is take that knowledge that I had gained on the other side. Like you said, you got to see both sides of it. I got to see both sides of it. Take the knowledge I got on the other side. And how do I take that and bring that back to share it with the people who don't have that access? And when I got the opportunity to co-found Elevate Money, that satisfied that personal desire of mine. And then what I found in the platform and real estate was that it wasn't this like, let's go and create opportunity for the riskiest things on the planet. This was conservative. It was a balanced approach. It was something that has been done over time. It pays income. You own a real asset. It's not volatile. You're not trading it. It's a long-term investment. Put this money away every month gradually, better than a savings account, in my opinion, and watch what happens down the road. Yeah. That is how we want to help people build wealth. And so everything just aligned, and that's how I became a co-founder in Elevate Money.
You had mentioned something there briefly and great story. And I think people who have so many perspectives have a little bit of leverage in this space because you know what it's like to not have the opportunity. Then you're in the world where you see the technology evolve and create opportunities. And then you get to be on the side where you're delivering opportunities. And I'm a big, big believer in kind of something that you said, like, hey, it's better than a savings account. I mean, you will never save your way to wealth. You'll never save your way and make the lifestyle that you want to make. I guess, where does this fit into? Because you had hit on a couple of things. It's not volatile. It's meant to be a slow and steady progression. It's meant to be a consistent and fairly conservative method of investing. Where does this fit, I guess, in the portfolio? If you hear of people that invest 10% high risk, high payoff stocks, 20% this type of stock, 20% this type of investment, this percent of real estate, because this kind of has a mixture of a little bit of all of those things. So first, I mean, is this liquid? Is it illiquid? Could it replace a savings account, or is it not that liquid that you would want to keep one?
Yeah, it's more of a long-term hold. So there's liquidity provisions in it. In our product, you can kind of redeem your money if you change your mind in the first 3 months. You can redeem it without penalty. Then after that, it goes into a lock period for a couple of years. You can still redeem it then with the penalty. So you probably don't make any money, get your money back. Maybe you might lose a percentage too, depending on the time frame of that. This is not a product for you to take your money in and out to trade. It is a long-term savings. The power of income-producing assets is long-term capital appreciation. A property is not going to, I mean, obviously in the last couple of years, some houses have done that, but
yeah.
Generally it's not going to double and triple every few months or every few years. It's a long-term play. And then the income part of it, which is what we're focused on, is income producing, is you take that income, you put it back in, it buys more shares, that gets income, it buys more shares. And that compounding power, when you look way down the road, and again, we have a calculator that does that. They talk about Warren Buffett and Einstein. They've all understood this power of compounding, which isn't the short-term fix and short-term high that we're so used to. So it does go against the grain of sort of how we're being trained right now with all the social media and our instant gratification. But this is your money. This is your future. This is your wealth. So yeah, you shouldn't take 100% and put it in anything. But historically, portfolio managers, you should put 10 to sort of 20% in real estate. Wealthy individuals have put anywhere from 30 to 40% at times when inflation's going up in times like this. We don't have that recommendation. You can read about that. You can see what people say, but it's a percentage of your portfolio to have a balanced portfolio.
Yeah.
The benefit of having it in real estate is one, it is a hard asset. So it's not this fictional number. It's based on income. It's based on the rent that comes in. It's based on the rates in the market, all those things. And then the second part is that you can take that income, you can compound it. So if you're just trading stocks or crypto or whatever, and things go up, they go down, you don't know when you're going to sell it. Everyone thinks they're going to make money, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But with this, if you do have a hiccup 3 years later, but you've earned 5%, 10% a year, well, you already have a 15, 20% cushion built in. So it's very hard to lose money long-term in real estate. Again, it can't happen because you can have a bad asset. We absorb some of that risk by diversifying that into many assets. Mm-hmm. It's a good mix into your portfolio. And one, I think that will translate to the next generation investor. We're already seeing it, obviously, in our platform. We're seeing a lot of younger people come in and want to do this.
I agree that it has such an appeal for, I don't want to say the next generation of investor, because it's not like it's off limits to anybody or it's inaccessible to anybody. But it is kind of tech-based, kind of appeals to a certain demographic and a certain generation. And I do agree with this sentiment. It's hard to lose if you can weather the storm. It's hard to lose if you can weather the storm. Even the worst crash we've seen in 08 in terms of real estate, I think it was like 4 years, a majority of prices rebounded. So if you weather that storm, you were still fine. 4 years in a 20 or 30 year portfolio is not really significant in the grand picture of things. And the diversification helps a ton as well. So tell us about, when it comes to picking a REIT, a couple big ones out there that market a ton, and then there's a couple little ones out there. How can somebody pick a good REIT? And is it important to have just one? Because at the same time, you don't want to have 10 bucks and 10 REITs. At a certain point, you're going to have better returns if you have 101. But how do you pick a good one? And what is your advice to, like, hey, if you're going on that diversification, should I have a few REITs? Should I go all in on one because there's so much diversification in one that that's fine? Or what's your take? Or how do you educate the potential new investors?
That's a great question. The first and foremost thing is to really understand the difference between publicly traded REITs and non-publicly traded REITs. So publicly traded REITs, you can go find in the stock market. You go to Fidelity.com or Robinhood and you can go buy shares in them. And you do have liquidity. You can get out of them tomorrow and the day after and there's no penalties and so on and so forth. And they do pay really good yields. So there's no issues there. The risk to understand when you're doing that is that you are investing in the stock market. The asset might be real estate, but the shares trade based on supply and demand every single day. So prices go up and down. So the REIT shares on the publicly traded market are close to, if not exactly, as volatile as the stock market itself. And so what ends up happening to a lot of investors is that when the market's coming down, they're getting margin called and they need cash and they're panicking. And even though the real estate asset hasn't gone down the same amount, so for in COVID, I think REIT shares were down 30 or 40%. Well, those real estate assets actually didn't go down in value at all, maybe a little, but not 40%. Well, a lot of people were forced to sell. So now when you throw the volatility in, you're not necessarily viewing it as a long-term real estate investing. You're trading it, which can have disruptions, which you might want to do that. But there's many investors who want to invest in real estate for diversification outside of the volatility of the stock market. So that's something to keep in mind. So you decide. So we're a privately, non-publicly traded REIT where you are buying shares and we do get a third-party appraiser. We check the prices on the asset once a year. We reappraise. So if it goes up, you do get the capital appreciation. If it goes down, we'll go down in price. But just once a year that we do that. And so you're not forced as crashes and trading and all of those things. But you do get the appropriate price of the asset, obviously, once a year. So that's a big difference. You got to decide what exactly you're investing and why. And then once you figure that out, comparing different REITs or different REIT products or managers, you really have to understand the asset type and the strategy. So are they going for development projects and they're trying to hit high returns 2-3 years down the road and they're betting big, but there's no income there. There's a lot of risk in a development not going up, even happening. The first step is exactly where you have to understand what your goals are and what you're looking for. And then you can start breaking it down and saying, okay, well, do I want volatility? Do I want liquidity? There's a give and take. Well, okay,
sure.
This is long-term savings for me. You don't mind giving up the liquidity, or I might need this money tomorrow. If I lose money, so what? If I'm forced to sell, so what? I'll go with liquidity. And then from there, the goals. And so when it comes to Elevate, I can't speak on other people, but our focus is income producing.
Got it.
So we're not doing development deals. We're not looking for flips. We're looking to say, hey, long-term lease is a business here that works. Our first property that we bought was a Family Dollar in Fort Worth, Texas. That's been there for a long time. The demographics in the area are growing. Family Dollar is owned by Dollar Tree, which is a S&P 500 company with good credit. We've got 5 years left on the lease with the re-up. So we're very comfortable that through a lot of ups and downs, as best as we can underwrite this and understand it, that we're comfortable that this tenant can pay their rent and that they're going to generate the income, because we want to give you a yield. And if that property goes up through inflation and all those things over time, it should. Great. You get that benefit too. But our focus is income. So you got to understand if you're looking for like the big hit down the road or income, and then you can start to understand what is the strategy of the fund manager. Then you want to look at their yield. Are they performing? All of those things.
Sure. Those are two big strategies that a lot of investors fight with. You're going cash flow or income, or do I want a big equity multiple where I might double my money in a couple of years? But there's more risk, right? With more return, there's just more risk. That's kind of the correlation there. So I think it's really, really needed. I think it's very, very valuable to have publicly and privately traded REITs, like you said, and having that diversification. And it really does not hurt you to look at long-term investments like this and say, hey, this is my 20, 30 plus year cushion. And this is what I really want to do to diversify and get me into different fields in a way that's available to me now. So I really like it. I think this is something that a lot of listeners should learn more about. So Sach, I mean, how can people get in touch with you and who should maybe reach out? Who do you think is a good fit for this type of strategy?
Our view is that every person who is investing and has a portfolio should have a percentage of that portfolio in hard assets, in income producing real estate. So our view is that everybody should have the same access. So we have investors who have invested a couple hundred thousand dollars in our product. And we have a lot of investors who've invested $100 and then kind of everywhere in between. So it's not that it's only for a certain type of person. It's for everybody who wants to diversify their portfolio into income producing real estate. So that's who it's for. You can find me personally on LinkedIn. You can look at my name. You'll have in the show notes, and anybody can feel free to reach out to me, and I post some articles on what we're doing on there as well. And then as far as the product, it's very simple. It's not a .com, it's a .money. So it's elevate.money. And right off the website, and the app's coming in a few weeks, but right off the website, within 5 minutes, you can go through the process, you can decide how much you want to invest, and you will be a investor in real estate. You will be a landlord through Elevate.Money.
I love it. Listen, you're totally right for the listeners. We're going to put all of those resources in the show notes. So listeners, navigate there if you want to learn a little bit more about this. And while you're there, of course, if you haven't already, make sure you download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow through Multifamily Real Estate. Sash, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great talking to you.
Justin, my pleasure, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you.